your nice chair in the middle. Thank you so much for that generous introduction. The truth is, it's not so late for us, those of us who are coming from Marasha, because we're on camp time.
Oh, okay.
So, if everyone else needs to rest their eyes a little bit, that's fine. The Marasha, everyone will keep their eyes open, hopefully, a little bit. Tonight's shiur is actually a very special shiur, at least for me. The topic tonight, we're going to speak about friendship. But this was a shiur actually I prepared about a year and a half ago. And I never got a chance to give this shiur, because unfortunately I had a brother-in-law who was not well at the time. He's since unfortunately passed away. And as I was preparing this shiur to share on a Thursday night in Teaneck, New Jersey, I ended up not being able to finish this shiur because I was spending time with my brother-in-law in the hospital. And that was a Thursday afternoon, and he passed away that Shabbos. So, Baruch Hashem, I never had the opportunity to give this shiur. I would have kicked myself a million times by now had I given a shiur about friendship instead of spending some final moments with one of my best friends. But I want to dedicate tonight's shiur, Lilo Nishmaso, Chaim Yisachar Ben Yechiel Zedel Dov. I also want to dedicate tonight's shiur for Refuah Shleima for someone by the name of Gittel Fega Bas Bela Bluma. She should have a speedy recovery. Remember, I read an article, this goes back again when I first originally started preparing this shiur, an article about friendship. A study that was done to try to understand our relationship with others in this world. And they did a serious study where they asked people, how many good friends do you really have? How many real friends do you have? And they found that the average person said that they have two real friends. Two real friends. Now this was a step down from the 1970s where a similar study was done and people had three real friends. As time goes on, two real friends. That's the world we live in today. And it's funny when you contrast it, you compare it to a social networking service that I'm sure some of us have heard of. Came out in the year 2004. As of recently, it has over a billion users, which is just a phenomenal number. It's impossible for us to even understand such a thing. A billion people on Facebook. And studies show that, again, if you just do simple math, the average Facebook user has over 140 friends. And yet reality tells us that when you ask people, how many real friends do you have? How many people can you really count on? People you can really consider your friends? The number is, in fact, two. So I want to try to understand the Torah approach to friendship. And the truth is, I think we'll see that by the Torah standards, if we have even one good friend, we can consider ourselves very lucky. We'll start with one of the most famous psukim, pasuk that we're all familiar with in Parshas Kedoshim. There are a lot of Mar Makomos in front of you. Don't be overwhelmed. I know the hour's late. We'll keep moving. We won't do everything inside. I have a little bit of an illness when it comes to making source sheets. You'll have to forgive me. But the pasuk, the famous pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, source number one, Lo sikom lo sitor es b'nei amecha v'havta l'recha kamocha ani Hashem. V'havta l'recha kamocha. To love your fellow Jew, to love your friend like yourself. And Rashi tells us very famously from Rabbi Akiva, Zeklal gadol b'Torah. Now before we get to where Rabbi Akiva is really highlighting, which is the need to treat the person well, v'havta l'recha kamocha, let's just try to understand what does it mean to have reyacha? What does the word itself mean? I mean, contrast it with the first part of the pasuk. Don't take revenge against someone who's b'nei amecha. So obviously there's a difference between someone who's just in the more general category of b'nei amecha and someone who you can actually call what? Reyacha. Someone who's a dear friend. Look in Pirkei Avos and Chazal tell us, two friends, maybe even one friend. Source number three in Pirkei Avos, Yeshua ben Prachya Omer, Aseilecha Rav, Ukneilecha Chaver, Vaveidanas Kol Adam Lekavskos. Facebook, an average of 140 friends. Studies, honest studies, tell us that in our world today, two friends. Come along Chazal in their infinite wisdom, their timeless wisdom, and they say, Kneilecha Chaver in the singular. It doesn't even say Chaver. Kneilecha Chaver. Halavai, we should each be able to say that I have one true friend, a real friend. Kneilecha Chaver. So let's talk about what it means, literally acquire for yourself a friend. What does it mean to acquire for oneself a friend? A kine, that term of kinyan, is usually used with regard to buying and selling objects. You don't talk about acquiring in the marketplace a friend. What exactly is the notion of kine l'chachavar? So there's a biographical work called Libam Shel Yisrael on the fifth Ger Rebbe, the Leiv Simcha. And in that sefer, he says, what does it mean, kinei lecha chaver? In what way is it like an acquisition, like a purchase? What way do we try to buy a friend? So imagine if a person was buying an expensive item. and you found that that item was somewhat damaged. So immediately, once you recognize that imagine a person bought an expensive camera, right? And you see that the lens is starting to crack. So the second you notice that there's a problem, that something seems to be falling apart here, you're immediately going to take action to what? To prevent any further damage. Says the Leiv Simcha, the same thing is true when it comes to friends. Just like an expensive object that you've acquired, that you're going to take care of. And the second you see that there's perhaps something that's off, that's leading to a potential damage, immediately you take action because of the nature of the great value of this object. When we understand the value of a chavar tov, when we realize it's one of our most expensive acquisitions, so too we'll be careful to make sure that we have damage control. That if it's a friend who's not really a proper friend, or it's a friend that we thought was a proper friend and somehow the relationship is starting to unravel, we immediately take actions to do whatever we can to ensure that that relationship won't be ruined. You look in Pirkei Avos, also in the sixth parak, the add-on parak of Kinyan Torah, and it talks about the different ways that we acquire Torah. One of the ways that we acquire Torah, interesting, there's a machlokis in the Girsos, the precise wording, the text of the 11th of the 48 ways in which we acquire Torah. Some versions have diktuk chaveirim, and some have dibuk chaverim. So I saw a beautiful explanation from a rabbi by the name of Rav Nassim Gestetner. He was a rabbi in Bnei Brak. He passed away a couple of years ago. I had this chus of meeting him one time. And he said it's one and the same. Diktuk chaverim, to carefully analyze a friend, and dibuk chaverim, to attach yourself to a friend. He says there's really no contradiction. Because before I attach myself to another human being, to try to form a real relationship, k'nei lecha chaver, halavai, again I should have that one true friend, I need to be medactic. I'm about to make a kinyan, making an expensive purchase. So I want to make sure that the object or the relationship that I'm about to purchase, right, is a relationship that I feel confident in. Is a relationship that I feel comfortable with. And I want to suggest perhaps my own explanation of what it means, k'nei lecha chaver. We know that a person's kinyanim, the things that we acquire in life, are an extension of the individual. The objects, the possessions we own, the type of car that we drive, the home that we live in, it says a lot about our character. It says about the nature of who we are. And we know this from, just again, our natural world. We know it from Torah sources. When Noach took animals onto the Teva, those animals that were worthy of surviving were animals that belonged to Noach. Spiritually, their personalities were connected to Noach. But again, in the natural world, there are many studies that have been done. There's a best-selling book that came out a number of years ago called Biology. B-U-Y, biology, the way that we buy things. Right? The sort of what's going on in our minds when we purchase things. And they tell in this book a fascinating thing that took place. There's a professor of experimental psychology in the University of Bristol in England by the name of Dr. Bruce Hood. Dr. Bruce Hood was once speaking at some convention somewhere in Norwich, the British Association Festival of Science, and he got up in front of a full room of people and he offered £10, right, the money. He offered $10, we'll put it into American dollars. He offered $10 for anyone who's willing to try on this blue sweatshirt. He says, is anyone interested? For $10, will you try on this blue sweatshirt? And basically every hand in the room went up. So he said, oh, I forgot to mention one thing. Whose sweatshirt is this? He said, this sweatshirt once belonged, to Fred West, a serial killer who was accused and was eventually found guilty, responsible of killing 12 women, including his own wife. So would anyone still like to try on this nice blue sweatshirt that once belonged to the infamous serial killer Fred West? And at that point, most of the hands, sheepishly retracted. There were a couple of hands that were still up. And they did studies, they were watching the people who were willing to try on the sweatshirt and how other people interacted with those individuals over the course of the conference and the rest of the evening. And they kind of shied away from people who were willing to try. So, because you put on a blue sweatshirt that was maybe once worn by a serial killer. In the end, he announced it wasn't really worn by Fred West. It was just a sweatshirt. It was a scientific experiment to see how people think. Right? But why is it that people shied away from putting on an object that once belonged to an infamous murderer? Right? What were they scared of? The idea being that k'nei lecha chaver, right? The kinyanim, the objects that we own, are an extension of ourself. And therefore, perhaps what Chazal is saying, k'nei lecha chaver, when you're going to enter into a friendship, realize that a friend is an extension of who you are. It says a lot about the type of person you are. Right? And we should develop a relationship with another person that it becomes an extension, a healthy extension of ourselves. That I should be able to expand myself, to broaden myself into another person. To have that relationship, that depth of connection with another human being. There's a beautiful story that's told in source number 4. Two great tzaddikim, Hasidic masters, who had a very close relationship, Rabbi Yecheskel of Kuzmir and Rav Chaim Meir Yechiel, Mimogolnitsa, He was known as the Seraph, the fiery one of Mogilitsa. Two lofty personalities. One time they got together. And Rabbi Yecheskel of Kushmir, who was the founding grandfather of the Majid's dynasty, known for their famous Nagunim, he turned to him and he said, you know, the Maharal apparently says somewhere that there are four relationships, four madregos when it comes to having a relationship with another person. Four ways we connect with other people. There are people who we can just not fight with. We're willing to be in the same room with them and then we're able to function amongst each other. There are people who we can eat and drink with. We can have a good time with. There's no depth really to our relationship, but we're able to go out for a meal, something to drink. Right? There are people who develop a love for one another. And that's an even deeper level. But he said the deepest level, and I read to you where it's bolded in source number 4, Ulam Ikr HaShalom, the deepest relationship that can take place, the ultimate state of peace of mind, the peace of being, Kasher Belo Chavero HaAdam Kamo Mechusar Eiver, that when your friend isn't with you, that dear friend is as if you're missing a limb. As if a piece of you is missing. Kanei L'Chachavar, it's an extension of yourself. It's part of who you are. Dahainu Shirak B'Yachad Im Chaveru Hu Davar Shalim. That with the friend I'm complete, and without him, I feel that I'm missing a piece of myself. Kanei L'Chachavar. Acquire for yourself a friend. Purchase for yourself a friend. Are we supposed to really buy our friends? Is that a way to make friends? You know, a person has a little... A person's well off, they have money, so they're constantly treating other people to things to try to win them over. Is that really something the Torah encourages? You may be surprised to see it, but in source number 5, Rav Avadya Ben Bartanura tells us yes. Kanei lecha chaver, even if it means you need to pay for the friendship. Kanei lecha chaver v'afilu atatzarech liknoso b'damim yekarim. Even if I need to buy gifts and spend money and do whatever it takes to win over that other person. Ulefazer lav mamon, kadesh tikna avaso, to acquire their love. Again, it seems cheap, it seems degrading. And yet, if we understand how Chazal viewed friendship, if we understand how important it was in the eyes of Chazal to have a friend, it's worth paying money for. It's worth selling yourself, so to speak, in order to acquire that person's love. To spend damim yikarim, to give away our prized possessions, in order to have the friendship, to have the hand of another person. Because Chazal understood that without a friend, without a true friend, a Jew in this world is lost. He's kiilu, he's mechusar eiver. You know, you think about the people who influence you most in life. You think our parents, our siblings, our rabbayim, our teachers, our friends, hopefully are somewhere on that list. But if I had to put them in order of who are the people who are most influential in my life, right, from top to bottom, so what would you say? Who's most influential in your life? So maybe we'd say our parents, right? Maybe our teachers, our friends. What would be the order? So it seems from Chazal that maybe we could suggest that our friends are our most important influence in our life. The people who impact us more so than anyone else. How do you see that hinted to in this very Mishnah? Asei lecha rav, ukenei lecha chaver. So again, think about it. It's a hard thing to say. But asei lecha rav, make for yourself a rav. Right? If you can acquire a Rebbe for free, then you should do so. But for a friend, kenei lecha chaver. Be willing to spend money. Says the Sfas Emes in source number 6, initially offers a different pshat. He's uncomfortable saying this. But then he says, where it's bolded, uperish ha-pashat, the simple understanding is, yitachin ki chaver tzarech yoser liknos meirav. A friend's even more important than a Rebbe, than a teacher, the person who's going to be responsible for giving Torah to you, for teaching you a way of living your life. The things that we acquire from our friends are in some ways more important. Ki mechavero yachol lekabel yoser. And it reminds us of the Gemara's statement. Where as a statement appears two places in Shas, in source number 7, where in Makos, again in Meseches Tanis, where Yehuda Nasi, the author of the Mishnah, says, I learned a lot from my Rebbeim, there's no question about it. But from my friends, I learned even more. From my friends, I learned even more. And he goes even one step further. He says, my students, I learned the most. Right? But what we learn from our friends is more so, again, as uncomfortable as that statement may be, it's even greater, it's even more impactful in our lives than our parents, than our siblings, right? Than our Rebbeim. Hopefully these people are also a friend of sorts to us. But why is it so? Why is it that our friends are so impactful? Why are they so instrumental in shaping our lives? In forming our outlook on the entire world? So part of the reason is because we spend so much time with them. You have to realize, if you spend a lot of time with a person, you become influenced by that person. You become impressed upon by that person. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, in source number 8, Derech b'riyaso shel adam. You know what the nature of man is? The people you hang out with are the people who impact your life, who shape your life. Lios nimshach b'deosav u'maisav achareyav v'chaveyav. It's the way of people to be drawn after the people who they spend time with. And therefore, when you're spending a lot of time with your friends, and if you have a good friend, you know it's a person who you're constantly in contact with, right? Certainly even Bizman HaZeh, you don't have to be with them, you're texting, calling, it's non-stop. Always maintaining that connection to other people, and again, hopefully they're deep and meaningful relationships. But because you spend so much time with that type of person, it's a relationship that surpasses even a Rebbe. The source that we have to honor Rebbein, the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, is the source, is the pasuk, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Right? Fear something along with Hashem. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. With God you should fear. So the Gemara says there was a great Tana who sat down to try to figure out every time it says the word et in the Torah, eight, right? Es if you prefer, to try to explain what it comes to include. And he says, I can't figure out this last one. Rabbi Akiva came along and said, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, fear something with Hashem, fear Talmidei Chachamim. So the relationship that we have with the Rebbe is sometimes one of fear. What about the relationship with a friend? What about the relationship with a close friend? It says the Ger Rebbe in source number 9, while as Hashem Elokecha Tira, with regard to a friend, it's Vahafta L'Reacha Kamocha. So which is a higher level? Yira or Ahava? Which is a higher level? Ahava. And therefore, again, we see that the relationship that we form with a friend is in some way deeper and is more impactful than that which we acquire from our Rebbe. What's the goal of a friendship? Now that we see the Chazal take it seriously, they've given it this elevated status, what do we do with friends? What's the point of having friends? What's a Torah perspective on why we have friends? Okay, any thoughts? I'll throw it out to the floor. Make sure everyone's... Just a couple of people stay awake this way if we make it interactive. Shimon, why do we have friends? You're my friend, Shimon. What makes us friends? Why do we have friends? So Rabbeinu Yonah and Pirkei Avos... I'll put you on the spot. Unless you want, you can answer if you want. Rabbeinu Yonah Pirkei Avos says there are three basic things that a friend helps one to accomplish. There are three areas of life that are shaped and molded by a friend. Rabbeinu Yonah says on that Mishnah Pirkei Avos, source number 10, L'shlosha dvarim tzarech adam el chaverto. Three reasons why we need a good friend. Number one, l'divrei Torah. Jumping ahead where it's bolded. V'asheni l'mitzvos. I'll explain what each of these mean in a moment. Hashlishi l'inyan ha'etza. You need a friend for Torah, mitzvos, and advice. What does it mean for Torah? Again, if a person wants to grow in their Torah knowledge, a person wants to grow spiritually, you need a good friend to encourage you to learn, encourage you to grow. What is mitzvos? How is mitzvos different? Interesting. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, sometimes you have a friend who himself or herself is not yet committed to a particular mitzvah, but they can encourage you. You ever have that situation? I have a friend who, let's say, yes, I'll speak to the male side of the room for a moment. Right? Let's say you wear tzitzis. Sometimes you struggle. It's annoying to wear tzitzis. It bothers you. You have a friend who never wears tzitzis. But one day he sees that you're not wearing tzitzis. He says, hey, you're not wearing your tzitzis. Who are you? You never wear tzitzis. Right? Or you have a friend who never makes brachos, but they know that you make brachos. And they encourage you. And they say, you know what? It's beneath who you are. Okay, granted, I'm not on that level. But I know you. You're my friend. You're better than that. I know that you usually practice this thing. And they encourage you to do a mitzvah that you yourself are, that they themselves are not yet doing. It's a powerful thing, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that a friend can do for you. And lastly, for Eitzah, to give you mussar, to give you encouragement, to tell you how to improve should you fail, right? To give you general advice about life. And what you see from this Rabbeinu Yonah in all three dimensions is that a friendship, a Torah true friendship, is exactly that. It's built on Torah. It's built on spiritual growth. It's built on how can I be a better Jew? What can I do to improve myself as a person in Hashem's world? To be a more dedicated individual. It's interesting. A term that's used throughout Chazal for a person who's committed to Torah and Mitzvot. The opposite of an Am Ha'aretz. A person who's simplistic in their halachic knowledge. The term that we use throughout Chazal is a chaver. A chaver. Chaverim. It's a funny term, no? For a person who's halachically observant, we call him a friend. Says the Rambam in the Perash HaMishnah to Maseches Demai, where it deals with these laws of, again, Tumah and Tahara, separating tithes and understanding Trumos and Maestros, complicated areas of Halacha. A person who is proven to be knowledgeable in these areas is called a Chaver. Why? Says the Rambam. Chaver korin l'chol talmidei chachamim. V'chein korin l'talmidei chachamim chaverim. Why do we call people who are spiritually committed, halachically committed, chaverim, v'karim b'shem zeh b'bnei, shechavrusam zeh lezeh hi, hachavrus ha'amitas b'bnei shehi l'shem shemayim. Because a person who's halachically committed, a person who looks at a relationship, how does this make me a better Jew? How does this help me get closer to God? That's a real friend. That's what friendship's for. That's why Hashem created other people on planet Earth besides yourself, to help you to improve yourself. You know, there's a story in the Gemara, an ancient Lahavdil, Rip Van Winkle, Choni Amaga. Choni Amaga was a miracle worker. Choni Amaga fell asleep under a tree for many, many years. Very strange story in Maseches Tanis. He wakes up, he comes to the Beis Medrash, he walks in, and what does he hear? Someone saying over a shtickel Torah, piece of Torah, they say, oh, one of the people in the Beis Medrash says, oh, I haven't heard good Torah like this. This is the type of Torah they said in the time of Choni Amaga. And he walks in, he says, hey, whoa, I am Choni Amaga. Choni Amaga, he lived 70 years ago, what are you talking about? You can't possibly be Choni Amaga. He says, I'm telling you, I'm Choni Amaga. And the Gemara says they didn't honor him like they should have. They didn't recognize who he was. They denied. They said, you're not really Choni Amaga. It can't be. And the Gemara says, in source number 12, second to last line, Cholash Daite, he became depressed because no one recognized him. No one cared for him. No one acknowledged him. He gave him the honor that he deserved. He said, Hashem, I can't go on living like this. I'd rather be dead. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy on him and he died. Amar Rava, Hainu Damri Inchi. This is like people say, O Chavrusa, O Misusa. If I don't have a chaver, if I don't have a chavrusa, I'm as good as dead. Ask for Desta. What's the pshat? Because they didn't honor him, they didn't stand up for him, they didn't pat him on the back, they didn't say, oh, you're Choni Amaga, can I get your autograph? Right? So therefore what? So his life wasn't worth living? What's the pshat? It's hard for us to understand. Baruch Hashem, we have great tzaddikim like Rav Dessler to shed some light on it for us. And Rav Dessler writes in the Michtam Me'Eliyahu, his beautiful work of Shkafa, source 13, O Chavrusa, O Misusa, Hainu Shalom Bikish Lamus Mishum Chesron Kavod Levad Chas V'Shalom. He didn't die because people didn't honor him and stand up for him. Ach Mishum Shechosro Lo Aliyah Ruchnis, Kevon Shalom Matzah Chavr L'Shitasa. You know why he died? He said, because if I don't have a friend in the Beis Medrash, if there's no one to help me grow as a Jew, then what am I living for? Imagine. To say that if I'm not growing as a Jew, and if I don't have a friend to help me grow as a Jew, why can't he go over to the Gemara shelf, pick up a Gemara, pick up a Chumash, start learning? Pick up a Musar Sefer, pick up a Shulchan Aruch. What stopped him from growing? But he understood, and that's what the Gemara says, O Chavrusa, O Misusa. V'gam lo Talmidim, She'ilmadu mimenu. He had no one to teach, he had no one to interact with. They saw him as some ancient old man, right? Some irrelevant individual in the Beis Medrash that day. And when he realized that that's what they saw of him, lo haya chafetz od b'chayim. He says, I don't want to live anymore. Because if I don't have someone, a spiritual friend, then my life is not worth living. We assume that to have a spiritual friend, it has to be someone who's so much better than us. Right? Someone who's greater than us. And it's not true. Rabbeinu Yonah says it can be someone who's not on the same level as you, not as religious as you, not as halakhically observant, not as committed as you, not as passionate as you. But if there's someone who's at least a little bit open to Torah, you work together and you sharpen one another. Pasuk says in Mishle, Ubarzel Babarzel Yachad, that one piece of iron sharpens another piece of iron. Right? Do they have to be equally strong? Do the two pieces of iron that are scraped one against the other have to be equally sharp in order to have a meaningful relationship one against the other? Right? You take two dull pieces of iron, you scrape them against each other, and something comes of it. Says the Merkevus of Mishnah in his parish in Perkei Avos, in source number 14. V'atam she'ena deos shavos, u'barzel v'barzel yachad. Hashem made us that we think differently. Your friend doesn't have to be someone who thinks exactly like you, who's exactly on the same religious level of commitment as you. Because barzel, barzel yachad, that one piece of iron against another piece of iron, it becomes sharp. Even if this person is not as smart as you, is not as committed as you, right? It sharpens you. It lifts you up. It picks you up. You know, one of the challenges I think that we face living in the Facebook generation, the world where, you know, a billion people are trying to network and to connect to one another, right, is that we lose sight of what it means to have real friends. And we start to think that I need to be friends with everyone. Let me see how many friends I can have. You know, you only have 500 Facebook friends, I have 1,000. I only have 1,000, I have like 5,000. Right, let's see how many people I can call my friend. Now, as Jews, obviously we want to be friendly. Right? Friendly with everyone, yes, that's something we definitely believe in. But not everyone has to be your best friend. You know, we daven every morning. We say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, protect me. When we say, we finish saying the brachos in the morning. We say, Hashem, protect me, mi'adam ra'u mi'chavar. Save me from a bad person and a bad friend. Something, an amazing story that happened with the Rebbe of Shinuf. The Shinuf Rebbe was once traveling on a wagon. Right? And he saw a fellow Jew on the side of the road. He flagged him down. And he said, Rebbe, can I come into the wagon with you? Can I ride with you? And he says, no, I'm sorry. You're not welcome to ride with me. So he got all nervous. A big tzaddik. Right, the shin of a Rebbe. Of Yecheskel Shraga Halberstam. What does he see in me? If there's Ruach HaKodesh, he sees I'm a terrible person. So he says, Rebbe, what did I do wrong? What do you? He says, nothing. You're a good person. You're a good person. But I don't think you're a good friend for me. And a person has a right to say such a thing. And he told him, he says, that's what we say every morning during davening. Hashem, protect me, may Adam ra u mechavera. What does it mean, may Adam ra u mechavera? Protect me from a bad person and a bad friend. Because sometimes you can have a person who's a very decent person. They're not an Adam ra. They're out of the category of Adam ra. But it doesn't mean that they're a chaver tov either. A person can be an Adam tov and still be a chaver ra. It's not the right person for you. To pretend that every single person is supposed to be your best friend is lying to yourself. And again, it's one of the illnesses of our world today where everyone's trying to network. Right? But the flip side is also dangerous. Because when I start to be too exclusive, and I say, this person's not for me, you're a good person, but you're not worthy of being my friend. And we become a bit clicky in that way. Right? That's also very dangerous. And it's also very much against the Torah. We daven. When we say the Birchas HaChodesh, which we'll say next Shabbos, God willing, Chodesh El is upon us. Misha Asa Nisim Lavosein, Resource 16. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did miracles for our forefathers, and you took them me'avdus l'cheirus, hu yigalo sonu b'kar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, redeem us speedily in our times as well. And how do we end it? Chaveirim kol Yisrael v'nomar amin. Chaveirim kol Yisrael. I want to try to be friends with every Jew. And again, while not every Jew can be my best friend, and it's foolish to imagine that that's the case, and even though every Jew is an Adam Tov, hopefully, they're not necessarily a Chaver Tov, right? But there has to be a certain degree of a friendliness that we have with our fellow Jews. To get to a point, if you want Geula, there has to be a level of Chaveirim Kol Yisrael, where every Jew can look at another Jew in the right way. And it's really a message we need to focus on coming out of the 3 weeks, not too far after Tisha B'Av. The Torah describes certain birds that are not kosher. What are some of the examples of the non-kosher birds? In Parsha Shemini, we're told in Source 17, V'as'eilet tishaktsu mina'of lo ye'achlu sheketim. They're abominable, they're despicable birds. You look at Pasuk Yotes, V'es ha'chasida. The chasida. That's a pretty from name for a bad bird. Chasida. Pious bird. Very pious bird. What's so pious about the chasida? And why is it on the list of birds that are off limits to a Jew? Look in Rashi in Source 18. Lama nikra shema chasida. Why is it called chasida? Because it's always doing chesed. She'osa chasida zim chavroseh b'mizonos. It's constantly supplying food for its friends. So why is this on the list of birds that are forbidden to the Jewish people? The Ramban describes that the reason that certain birds are off limits is because that they're cruel. They're birds of prey. This doesn't sound like an evil bird. Right? This doesn't sound like an angry bird, for those who play that game. This sounds like a very nice bird, a bird who's constantly doing chesed for its friends. Explain the Chidushei Arim, the Ger Rebbe. You know what's wrong with the Chasidah bird? Look carefully at Rashi. What did it say? The Chasidah bird does acts of kindness for who? For its friends. It's only interested in helping the people who it feels is worthy of help. And that's a misplaced type of chasidus. To limit myself, to box myself in, to say, I'm going to start a little friendship club, and I'm going to corner myself away from everyone else, and no one else is worthy of being a part of this club. In Yerushalayim, many years ago, there was actually a group of Jews who started the friendship club. And they decided to form this pact that if any of them is ever in need of anything, they can call any of the other members of the club, and the person, anyone from the club, will drop anything and everything to come and help that individual. So they brought their idea to Rav Ben Zion Yadler, who was a Rav in Yerushalayim at the time, and they wanted to know what he thought about this. He thought it was a great idea. He went to the Maharil Diskin, Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin, and he asked him, what do you think about this? So he said, Nu, what do you think? He said, I think it's beautiful. The Maharil Diskin said, I think it's against the Torah. So it's against the Torah. It's so beautiful. They're taking care of each other. And he said, to make a group where we commit ourselves only to a select group of Jews is totally... means that every Jew, Chaveirim Kol Yisrael, the Chasidah bird is an evil bird because it's only willing to work within a small chevra. These are my friends and these are not my friends. So again, we have to live with this duality. On the one hand, like the Shin of Rebbe said, you can be an Adam Tov, you don't have to be my friend though. You don't have to be someone who but I can't be overly selective. I can't become the type of person who says that I'm only going to associate with the following individuals who meet my criteria for what's considered worthy of being a friend. Right? Behaftalei Chmocha is a much broader statement. encouraging us to connect with many people across the entire Jewish spectrum. Okay, so we've explained the need for friends, Chazal's importance in having friends. We've defined what makes a good friend. But now let's talk about a sad reality. Because sometimes in life we find ourselves without friends. You find yourself in a place where you're feeling lonely. No? It's only me. Sometimes you find yourself in a lonely place. There's no one around to talk to, there's no one around to connect to. Your cell phone died. There's no one to text. Can't get on your Facebook. Right? There's no friends. You're by yourself. You're sitting all alone. There's no one to talk to. So what do? How do you connect when you don't have a friend by your side? What can one do? So I want to offer some maybe somewhat silly advice, but I think it's very good advice. Maybe although garbed in a little bit of a silly tone. Right, what should a person do if you don't have friends? There's not a single human friend around. So, this might sound strange, but why not befriend some inanimate objects? What do I mean by that? So if you go back to Rashi on the Mishnah that we started with, of Kenei Lecha Chaver, look what Rashi says, and you'll be blown away by this if you never saw this before. Source 21. Rashi says on Kenei Lecha Chaver, Amri La Svar, acquire for yourself a friend. Rashi says, you know what a good friend is? A good book, a good sefer. Oh, by the way, says Rashi, Amri La Chaver Mamash. Right? Some people say if you can't find a good book to read, so you can actually go find a human friend. But the first thing Rashi says, Kenei Lecha Chaver, find for yourself a good book to read. The person finds himself all alone. You take a sefer with you. It's a friend who's well behaved. It's a friend who's, you know, not too expensive as far as the Kenei aspect of Kenei Lecha Chaver goes. A friend who can teach you a lot. Right? A sefer is a very, very good friend. A chassid of the Ger Rebbe, the Imre Amos, once came to him. And he was complaining, he had to travel on business all the time. It was taking a toll on him. It was very difficult for his parnasa, he had to do it. Came to the Imre Amos. And the Imre Amos said, tell me, when you travel, did you make some good friends? Made some really good friends? So he said, friends, I barely have time to function. I'm running from one place to the next. Where on earth would I have the time to find some good friends? This is brought in one of the biographies of the Imre Amos, source 22. In the second line, Amr Lo, Nimre Yemes, the Ger Rebbe said to him, Matzal Atzmecha Chaverim Tovim. When you travel, when you were in France, when you were in England, when you were here, you were there, did you have some good friends with you? Shal Haish. Hello, Nov and Nod and Nikola Yavim. When am I going to have time to develop friendships? I'm always on the run, I'm here, I'm there. Berechovos of Adracha Mehechan Akachli Chaverim. When am I going to have time to develop real friendships? Said the Ger Rebbe, Yeshiva Rabbeinu, Gam Sefer Uchaver Tov. A Sefer is a good friend. Why can't you have a good friend by your side at all times? Take your Gemara along with you. Take your Chumash along with you. And if you think this is a joke, by the way, if you think this is just a silly comment, if you're not convinced that if Rashi says it, that's still not good enough for us, I'll show you this has halachic ramifications. The Gemara says a person should never learn by himself or herself. A person should always learn with a chavrusa. A person who learns alone is going to come to make terrible mistakes. But it's interesting. As much as the Gemara emphasizes that, you look through Shulchan Aruch, look at the Rambam, none of them quote this halacha. There's no halacha about learning by oneself, even though the Gemara is very, very critical of it. Why is that so? So many explain, you know what the reason is? Because that was only true in the time when we learned before we had Svar. Now it is. You're never learning alone. You sit with a sefer. When we learn Baal Peh, when you have to remember everything on your own. So it was much easier for a person to make a mistake, to forget. You needed a human friend to talk it out with. Now, you sit with a sefer. Nice new print of a sefer. It spells out everything for you. You have it all by your side. Someone came to the Chazon Ish, who used to sit, he closeted himself away, he used to sit and learn by himself. They said to him, isn't this a violation of the Gemara? And the Chazon Ish just pointed to this Rashi in Pirkei Avos and said, if you have a sefer by your side, a person is never alone. Okay. Interesting piece of advice what to do when you don't have a human friend. I'll give you another friend. Another friend you can have by your side. You know, my so-called friends make fun of me that I always have pens in my pocket. I don't go anywhere without a pen. It's always good to have a pen. And a pen, the truth is, a pen can be a very good friend. I don't know, maybe I'm a loser because I'm friends with pens. But a pen can actually be a very, very good friend. And the truth is, even in the Rishonim, they suggest this idea. Kenei lecha chaver. A kenei means a quill. Kenei lecha chaver, your quill, your pen, can be a good friend. To be able to write, to be able to draw, to be able to record one's thoughts. It's in fact a very good friend. When Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, let's jump ahead to source 26 for a moment. Rav Hirsch wrote a letter to his father. It's recorded in the biography of Rav Hirsch. And his father wrote back to him. When he wrote of loneliness to his father and expressed the need for a chavrusa, The latter replied with a pun on the Mishnah, "Kanei l'chachaver, acquire a friend for yourself. Let a pen be your friend," his father wrote. And he did. Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch was a very prolific author over the course of his career. Right? And he got inspired by his father, who told him, "You're sitting by yourself, you think you can't accomplish in learning. Take notes, write down your ideas. Your ideas are also worth something. Record them, take that pen by your side, and use it to develop a friendship." Rav Mordechai Gifter, in his biography that was printed relatively recently, also described the period in his life where he was a Rav in Waterbury, Connecticut. And the Jewish community was very simplistic at that time. There was no one who could really learn on his level. And he says, he records here, in his biography, he says he used to sit sometimes, he would talk even to a Coke bottle. He would sit there, he had a chavrusa with a bottle of soda sitting on the table. I can't imagine, you know, I can only imagine someone walked into the room and sees your gifter going at it with a soda bottle. Right? He says to the Coke bottle, "You know, do you like my svar and the gevar?" And the Coke bottle sits there and says, "Oh, okay, shtika koda, silence is like admission, so I guess you think I'm a Talmud Chacham." But Rav Gifter said, "If I didn't have my pen, I never would have survived those years. Because I was able to, again, record my thoughts, to write down my ideas. A pen can be a very good friend." So imagine you're traveling on a boat, and you're shipwrecked, and your suitcase full of svarim is somewhere floating at the bottom of the ocean, and you stick your hand in your pocket, and your pen is gone, and now you're shipwrecked, you're sitting on some island, right, trying to become friends with a coconut. Right, or like that movie, what was that movie? Wilson, the volleyball. Castaway, thank you, never saw it. Right? You're sitting there, you're talking to your best friend, the volleyball, the coconut, whatever it was, Tom Hanks. Right? So what do? You literally have nothing. Kanei l'chachaver, what are you going to do? I'll give you one more piece of advice. How about kanei l'chachaver? How about acquire yourself as a friend? You know, there are different relationships we have in this world. We try to have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We try to have a relationship with other people. But it's also very important to have a relationship with oneself. To be comfortable with oneself. We're so busy trying to interact with people around us, we sometimes forget to have a relationship with ourselves. And the Maharal says that's really the deepest relationship of all. The Torah stands on, the world stands on Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. Avoda is my relationship with Hashem. Gemilas Chasadim is my relationship with others. What's Torah, says the Maharal? Torah, says the Maharal, is my relationship with myself. The deepest Torah in the world. The most important teaching that you can ever acquire. And if you take nothing from this year, please take the next 30 seconds of Torah. Because it could save your life one day. To recognize that Torah means getting to know myself. Says the Rebbe of Ostrovser. The Rebbe of Ostrovser was a great Hasidic Rebbe of Ostra, Poland. Source 29, the Meir Einei Chachamim. Kenei lecha chaver, he says. Kenei lecha. Acquire yourself as a friend. Get to know yourself. Sometimes we're so busy trying to make so many friends that we forget to pay attention to ourselves. And if last but not least, if it seems too awkward to befriend yourself, so I'll give you one other really good friend. One other really good friend. You know, the world claims that a dog is man's best friend. I'd like to argue otherwise tonight. You know who your best friend in the world is? And it happens to be when I went to visit my brother-in-law in the hospital, in Sloan Kettering, on that last time I would see him, my dear friend. This is the last of our Torah I ever shared with him. So it's very meaningful to me. It's a Rashi and Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei says in source number 30, Re'acha v'rei avicha al tazov. Your friend and your father's friend do not abandon. And as my brother-in-law was, you know, slipping in and out of a sleepy state, I said to him, I said, Chaim, who's your friend? I told him this pasuk. I said, Chaim, who's your friend? I said, Chaim, who's your friend? I said, you know who your friend is. So he said, the Ribbono Shalom? I said, exactly. I said, and who's your father's friend? So he said, the Ribbono Shalom. I said, exactly. It's a Rashi in Mishlei. Your friend and your father's friend do not abandon. Who's your friend? Says Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenikra Re'a Yisrael. Hashem is the best friend of every single Jew. V'Re'a Avicha, and he's the friend of your father. Whose father? The Avos. Shechive V'Savosecha. Hashem loved your father, and your grandfather, and your great-grandfather, all the way back to the Avos and the Imos, the founding fathers of our people. And with this we understand the Gemara of Hillel and the Ger. The Gemara tells a story that a ger came to Shammai and he says, teach me kol HaTorah kula al regel achas, while standing on one foot. Shammai says, get out of here, and chases him away. He comes before Hillel and he says, Hillel, teach me the entire Torah on one foot. Hillel says, I'll sum it all up for you. Madalach sani l'chavirach lo tavir. What you wouldn't like done to you, don't do to your friend. So we normally understand that Gemara is, he's teaching him, b'natam l'chavera. Treat people respectfully. And in some ways that is the entirety of the Torah. Derech Eretz Kadmah L'Torah. That's a prerequisite for Torah. But if you look at Rashi on that Gemara, source 34. Rashi on that, oh, it's not source 34, I apologize, source 33. Rashi on that Gemara of Hillel and the Ger. When he says, what you wouldn't want done to your friend, don't do to you. What you wouldn't want done to you, don't do to your friend. Who's your friend, says Rashi? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to learn all Torah on one foot? Treat Hashem like a friend. Have a real relationship, a meaningful personal relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the deepest relationship a Jew can have. Deeper than a relationship with the Chaver Tov, that one friend that Chazal encouraging us to have. Deeper than Kenei Lecha Chaver. Deeper than the relationship we can have with any sefer in the world. The ultimate relationship that a Jew can have is to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a real way as our friend. I remember I drove to my friend's wedding. We drove to all the way out to Chicago. And we stopped off in Toledo, Ohio, en route to Davin. It's crazy, we drove through the night, it was a wild adventure. The Rav, a young Rav in Toledo, Ohio, I'd never met him before, his name is Rabbi Jonathan Bienenfeld, maybe some of you know him, I don't even know him. Met him that one time, you know him? Ah. So Bienenfeld got up after Shacharis that morning, and he said a short, sweet Dvar Torah. He said, he quoted a piece of the Rambam, they were learning the Rambam's Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. And the Rambam commenting on the pasuk in Source 34 in Shemos, that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem panim al panim, kasher yedaber ish el re'ehu. Says the Rambam, you know what the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu is? You understand the relationship that Moshe had with Hashem? The highest level of connection that any human being ever had with any other being, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Rambam, Source 35, where it's bolded, Klomar, Kamosha ein adam nivha, lishmoa divrei chaver. Just like a real friend, you can talk to them. You're not ashamed to share your feelings with them. You can open up to them. You can seek eitzah from them, like Rabbeinu Yonah told us. Moshe Rabbeinu had that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There was no inhibition. He could talk to Hashem, panim upon him. The example the Torah gives, the model the Torah gives, of the deepest relationship that Moshe had with Hashem is what? It's like talking to a dear friend. Moshe was so comfortable in the presence of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Halavai, we should be friends with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, even a little bit on that level. So I want to just end by offering all of us a bracha. I thank you for your time. Thank you for inviting me. I want to end with a bracha. And again, I think it's a very good bracha. The bracha of a Chaver Tov. There may be no better bracha in the world. Then again, these various facets of what it means to have a Chaver Tov. A human friend. A sefer that's a friend. Be friends with yourself. Right? To be friends with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To think about some of these different aspects of friendship that we spoke about tonight. And the bracha I give you is the bracha that Rav Avadya Yosef records in his Parashat Pirkei Avos, in Source 38. Va'azocha lakach, a person who zocha, bracha gedola hi b'yes Hashem. If you have a good friend, you should realize how lucky you are. It's such a bracha. And Rav Avadya Yosef points out that in fact the gematria of the word bracha is Chaver Tov, 227. Because there's no bigger blessing in the world. There is no bigger blessing in the world than to have a true Chaver Tov to help us through life. And if we can somehow forge that relationship, even if we're not on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, to connect with Hashem in that way, if we can forge that relationship with our fellow Jews, Chaverim Kol Yisrael, to have a true Chaver Tov, then that will be a conduit for us to have that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch. And I'll end with the final source, Source 39, a famous story, a mashal, brought by many different svar, many different tzaddikim. This is from the Sefer Or Pnei Tzaddikim, from the Rizhner, Rabbi Yisrael of Rizhin, a saintly Hasidic personality. I'll share the mashal with you outside. I'm sure some of you have heard it before. The mashal goes that there were two best of friends, and one of them got into a little bit of trouble, and he was sentenced by the king to be executed. And the king wanted that this person's crime and his punishment should be, you know, displayed before the masses, so he called everyone together and said so-and-so is going to be executed on the following date for the crime that he committed. It was a minor offense, but the king felt he needed to teach him a lesson, and to teach the kingdom a lesson. Well, when his best of friend, who lives on the other side of town, found out that his friend was about to be publicly hanged, he came running on that day before the king, and he threw himself down on the floor before the king and says, "You got the wrong guy. I was the criminal. It was me, it wasn't him." His friend saw what was going on here. He says, "Not true, it was me. I was the one, I cheated on the taxes, I'm the one who deserves that." He sees the two of them fighting back and forth. When the king sees this, the king says, "I want to tell you something. I'm going to pardon both of you, because I see how much you love each other. But I'm going to pardon you on one condition. You let me be the third member of this friendship. You let me in on this tight-knit relationship." Says the Rebbe of Rizhin, "V'haftal l'reach kamocha." If you could form that bond with another person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the most beautiful thing in the world, and Ani Hashem, I Hashem say, I want to be a part of that. So Mirtz Hashem, we should be zocha to the bracha v'chaver tov. We should be zocha to become friends with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Mirtz Hashem, as we say, and the Mirtz Shem will say soon again, in the Birchas HaChodesh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Goel HaSan HaBekarov, when Chaverim Kol Yisrael, when we respect each other, that we have the relationship, that friendship, that friendliness amongst us, and the Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zochet to see that. Bekarov B'Ameinu Amen. Thank you so much.